Bridgeport Coffee Company was named the number one coffee house in Chicago by Time Out magazine, probably because their terrific artisanal roasts are complemented so well by their down-to-earth attitude. Try it yourself at 31st and Morgan in Bridgeport, or at fine retailers like Whole Foods or Jeans in Lincoln Square, or check out BridgeportCoffeeCompany.com.
Please won't you be my neighbor, neighbor and friend.
Hello everybody, welcome to The Hungry Brain, welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. Is it Claudio? Is Claudio the one that's here?
No.
Other guy, come on in. Let's get this over with. Come on in. Tamales, everybody, if you want a tamale, get it now. The second we start the show. To the listener at home, this has become an awful tradition where the tamale guy comes in at least once a night interrupting the show. This time, it's directly when we started, so it couldn't have been planned any better. What an awful way to start the show. I apologize. In fact, I'm happy you were here. Have a good night, sir. I wish you the best of luck with your life and other things. I have a very interesting life. No, it's not. I have a medium life. I get to interview some people that I want to interview and sometimes people I have to interview. One of the people I wanted to interview for the Washington City Paper is actually a guest here tonight. His name is Joe Kilgallen. He's a fantastic comic. And he's the kind of comic that I like both on stage and off. And there's a very important thing about comics. They're different people. They're totally different people on stage and off. Sometimes when they're on stage, they're hilarious and they're just sprouting wisdom and you think that like, oh, I know you because I know the insides of your brain. But then you get off stage and you realize they're fucking insane and they're the worst human beings in the world. Joe is not that. One of the gentlemen that Joe has opened for is that. He's probably, in terms of stats, like the most popular podcaster right now. I got to interview Mark Maron today. It was kind of cool because, you know, everybody listens to WTF and he's very popular and blah, blah, blah. And he's a great interviewer. So I was like, oh, this will be easy. This will be the easiest interview I've ever done because I have nothing but respect for the man. I opened with a minute of pretty much complimenting him, saying, man, listen, you inspired my two favorite Chicago comedians to become even better stand-ups. Junior Stopka and James Fritz saw you a few years ago, and because of that show, they decided to, like, quit everything and just become the best stand-ups possible. And I just wanted to thank you for that. And he just went, okay! And that was a bad start. 5 minutes later into the interview, he starts talking about how he had nothing. He had nothing before he started WTF, the podcast. And I started to bring up, well, by that point in your life, you had already had 8 years on radio. You'd been on Conan over 40 times, and you've also published 2 books. And he got pissed when I said that. He started yelling at me, I had nothing! I was going to kill myself! And that's when I think, maybe you should have killed yourself because you're so angry and you have all this hatred emitting from yourself. No, I'm glad he didn't kill himself because of all that stuff. But as a friend, you'd really root for the death part of that factor. And that made me think, I'm not neurotic. Mark Maron is neurotic. I am the least neurotic person possible. I say I'm neurotic. I talk with my hands. I sound Jewish sometimes. That does not make me neurotic. I've never thought about... No offense. I've never thought about any of you talking about me after a show. I really should, considering this is what I want to do with my life. But I've never been like, oh, I really... How do they think my pants fit? Who the fuck cares? Are you going to fuck me? No, I'm engaged. I don't care. Now, you're very nice people, and I appreciate you being here. But once you're in the room, I want you to have a good time. And then after that, I don't care if you want to murder me. The fact that you showed up tonight makes me so happy. You can't take that happiness away from me. And if, in a way, I got like the Mr. Rogers positivity filled with the Mark Maron hatred for myself. But not really. It's this weird thing. I'm going to tie this all together to tonight's guest. Just give me a second here. Wendy. Wendy is our first guest tonight, and she would occasionally, she still does, I think. You write about body issues.
Yeah.
She writes about body issues. And we all have body issues. I have body issues. I'm trying to be not fat, you know, so I'm running. So I've decided to go running more and more and more. So today, I did something I always wanted to do, which was run a bunch of miles to and from Wrigley Field, because I'm a giant Cubs fan, and I had a blast, and I just ran, and I saw homeless people because it was the middle of the day, and I should be working, but I don't have a real job. So it's this weird thing where, like, I'm running, and I'm having a great time, slash, like, totally worried about being able to pay rent. And then there's this, like, weird, epiphany. While I'm running past Wrigley, I could see into the park. I could see clearly into the tunnels because they had one of their gates opened. And I realized there's not one bad thing to me about the structure that is Wrigley Field. Like, I've had the best memories of my life in Wrigley Field. My grandfather took me to my first game when I was 8, And he bought me a hot dog, and he disappeared for what seemed like an hour. And I thought he went across the street, and he had to explain to me that you can't leave a ballpark. And then he got like 10 beers. And then when we were driving home, I go, should you drive? And that ruined the whole day. But the part in the actual park was just magical. I have no idea what happened in the ball game. And I feel bad, in a way, for people that don't like sports, because it's the best divorce you could ever have from reality. Those 2.5 hours in the park, that's it. If you want to turn your cell phone off, just turn off everything and just get involved into just great alcoholism. It's amazing. I mean, oh, the bartender tonight, he's a Sox fan and I'm a Cubs fan. We don't murder each other. In fact, we go to the games together and have a fantastic time. And that's like the life I'm leading, and I can't be angry about that. And then I start running back. I start running back from the ballpark, and I just see so many people like asking for money, and I realize, holy shit, these are all failed talk show hosts. So this show has to go really, really well, or else I'll never be able to afford to go into Wrigley Field again. But with our lineup tonight, with Esmeralda and with Jeremy, I think it can go well. I'd like to point out that Jeremy was wearing the suit coat I was wearing, and you looked even more homeless. So thanks for taking that off, buddy. But Jeremy's going to be playing music. Esmeralda's a co-host. Jeremy, take it away. See, Jeremy, I miss you. Talking to the microphone. We actually gave you a microphone, I think, for the first time ever.
Yep. Well, second time ever. The first time you said you'll never do that again.
And here we are. You're done on the mic. Esmeralda, how was your day?
It was all right.
Okay, fantastic.
This I was is trying to think what I did, and I didn't do anything, so.
You could have lied. It's an audio podcast.
No, I like speaking the truth.
Why?
I don't know.
Speaking of speaking the truth.
That's easier. I'm very lazy.
Oh, that's depressing.
I don't want to make something.
What a great start. Esmeralda, what's our news stories for the evening?
I'm going to tell you a little story about a man from Florida. I was reading this and it cracked me up. This guy, his wife is divorcing him and he's trying to figure out a way to keep her. And so what he does, unbeknownst to her, is plots a hate crime. She's a
She plotted.
He does. He is a black man. She is a white lady.
Okay.
So in his head, he's like, hey, I'm going to hate crime it and see if she sticks with me. So what he does is he burns a cross on the lawn.
The dude is black.
Yes. He's a black man.
And the dude, the black dude, is like, I'll light a cross.
I'm going to hate crime it and she'll stay with me that way. I don't know his reasoning, but stick with me on this. The cross burns. She's like, oh, no, cross burning. He's like, oh, no, this is terrible. And then a few days later, there's a note on their door that says it's signed KKK. And it says,
Wait. The KKK leaves notes?
Apparently. Okay. He thinks so. It's taped to their door and it
says, where do you think they get their
hold on, goddamn right. Let me say the note. So it's signed and it says, see, you made me lose my...
Do they get it at
all? He essentially said that the KKK doesn't want you to leave your black husband.
What? Okay, so...
That's my confusion.
The woman wants a divorce from the dude. The dude who is black decides, I'll get her to stay by lighting a cross on my lawn.
Yeah.
A day later, I will pen a note from the KKK to my wife saying, you should really stick with this black dude that we just lit a cross for.
Yes, it's like a sitcom.
What sitcom? Because I would love to... Is that on Whitney? If Whitney turns into that, I will become a Whitney viewer.
Yeah, and she's burning a cross in front of her apartment.
I think that's romantic.
True love.
You deserve that microphone. Good job.
Is the cross in... He couldn't afford flowers, but he had wood and fire, so he's like, why not?
This is Florida.
Yes.
Okay. That's it. This is Florida. Yeah. This is what happens
in Florida. So anyway, she gets all suspicious because she's like, why is the KKK saying to stay with him? He's black. And she calls the cops and everything. And in the end, he gets arrested for domestic violence stalking.
How is that possible?
And it's a felony, so he's going to jail.
Well, he's a black guy in Florida. Of course he's going to jail. But
he doesn't. But she's like, oh, he's good. I just can't be with him. He doesn't drink. He has a job.
Why are they getting him?
He's a good man other than he's crazy because he does things like this.
Often?
Probably.
Does he have a history of this? Because this could be a fantastic marriage.
I bet you he comes up with like Scooby-Doo-esque schemes.
Once again, what episodes of Scooby-Doo have you been viewing? Casey Kasem was a crazy racist.
The KKK was the guest.
This is more insane than the Ramones version of
the KKK. That actually would have worked because then they would have pulled the masks off and be like, old Mr. What's-His-Face.
It was actually the black guy. He's super confused. This is this a Chappelle Show skit 10 years too late?
He was a head writer.
And now they're it's Neil Brennan. So this actually happened, and now they're divorced.
It did. I actually would have been great if it did work.
What if he burned it in the shape of a heart?
Oh. The KKK sends our love.
We're married. You're angry at me because of my love of fashioning crosses. I burn you a cross of a heart.
That what? Makes sense.
I burn you. I make many, many crosses into the shape of a heart.
Oh.
Do you stay with me?
I don't know. It's right. Burning.
It is
you're
burning.
You're burning love.
I am burning love.
You're burning passion. Probably.
Okay, good. So
again, because I'm lazy and
John,
I probably
John, the man who's dating Merle, you can get away with a lot.
Burn stuff on the lawn. It's okay.
All right, good. Next story.
The next story concerns the fellas and laptop computers and things with Wi-Fi. Some Argentinian scientists did some studies, and they pretty much figured out that the use of laptop computers that are wirelessly connected to the internet, and if they're by your business...
Your business being...
Your penis.
Good.
It decreases human sperm quality. Although, who else is... What other sperm... Like, where do you put computers by animals and things?
What?
Because they said human sperm quality. I'm thinking, like, are you...
I want to know how they measure sperm quality.
They put it... What they did was they had some sperm...
A microscope.
No, yeah. They had it, like, under glass, and then they put, like, some radiation or some crap that's equal to computers, and they figured... And then they got all lazy and mutated or something.
If anybody listening at home runs a science journal, please hire Esmeralda to write your summaries. Just, it'd be fantastic. Okay, so...
And then the sperm gets all weird. That's all I would say.
The sperm does get all weird. Once again, back to your boyfriend.
Yeah.
He is on a computer a lot.
Yeah.
Are you worried about this, or are you pro-using your laptop as much as possible?
Go ahead. There's so many kids. I can just go pick one up at China. It's fine.
Okay. And you are Chinese.
Yeah, it works
out. So it works
out.
Well.
Yeah. So if anybody... I have a laptop. It's got wireless. So if anybody wants to do a cheap,
super long-term abortion.
Yes.
Vasectomy.
Just come over. I will slap it on you. No.
All right. Well, netbooks are pretty cheap. You can get rid of a few of them tonight.
I feel like this isn't going to do much.
Why?
I would want, like, a big Mac computer on my business.
Well, you get what you pay for, and that's a very quality piece of equipment. Anything else tonight or no? We're just doing dicks and crosses.
Yeah. I was reading a bunch of articles about technology and how it's becoming, like, Siri started some man's car.
Siri, the voice
the of voice the... of the Apple thing.
The iPhone.
Whatever, the phone
Jesus
thing.
Jesus Christ.
And then there was the other where the Kinect, if anyone, it's the Xbox video game, and it follows you and you play games and you can, with your hand and your body. It will, next year, they're having a new version where it's going to read your lips and figure your mood out.
What?
So if you're sad, it's going to probably ask you, why are you sad?
It's already sad. This whole premise
is sad.
But
it freaks me out because it's going to be like they're going to take over. They really are.
It's by
you know how we used to make fun of that? We're like, oh, right, computers.
Yeah, but it's still by choice. You don't have to have a Kinect Xbox system in your house.
Yeah, but then it's going to kill you.
What?
Take over your body, and then they will spread.
Once
like
again,
zombie viruses.
It only matters if you bring it into your home.
Yeah, but I'm saying when you do, it's going to kill you.
Why would you bring it into your home?
Because it's fun to play with.
Oh, okay.
What?
You're going to die
so
really young
fun.
On accident, aren't you?
I am.
Okay, good. Is that it?
Yeah.
I think that was a good job. I think you did a fantastic job. Good
Thanks,
job,
Brandon.
Esmeralda. Why would you make fun of me like that? I'm going to play temporary secretary again to haunt you.
Please don't.
Okay. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to the show. I really appreciate it. I'm butting in to let you know that I write a weekly column for this website called Brightest Young Things. The name of the column is called Behind the Desk, and it's pretty much whatever is applicable to this talk show or talk shows in general, things that I find fascinating. It goes up once a week at brightestyoungthings.com, and you can find every column at youmethemeverybody.com. So if you haven't been to the website in a while, that's an excuse to go. Once again, it's called Behind the Desk. It's a weekly column I write, and I'd really appreciate it if you gave it a glance. Thanks for listening, and back to the show. Coming coming to the stage. She's an author. She's an editor. She does a lot, and I don't know how she does it. Please put your hands together for Wendy McClure, everybody. Jeremy. Wendy.
Yeah.
I asked you to do the show in the fall, but you were getting married.
Right.
How's that working out?
So far, nothing is really different, except I have nicer stuff.
You have nicer stuff? What kind of stuff did you register for?
You know, the usual, like, Crate and Barrel stuff. And
did anybody go to CB2?
No.
Good.
No.
That means you have nice, rich friends.
I guess so.
Did you ever think you'd have to cancel a talk show appearance due to a wedding? This is a talk show appearance right now.
You're
doing well.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so you're an author.
Right.
You're a columnist.
Right.
You're an editor. Yet you have an MFA in poetry.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, you should be jobless. Yeah. Like, how do these relate? Why did you get an MFA in poetry?
I was really young, and I don't know. I was at the University of Iowa.
Yeah,
and
which is, like, really good for writing.
It was a really weird time because I was really young and I just wanted to kind of impress people, and somehow I was able to do that by writing these really cryptic little experimental poems.
Did it work?
It did work for a while, and then I got out of grad school and I went out into the real world, and I mean, this is not a critique of the whole MFA thing or the poetry thing, this is just me, but I remember getting like a journal in the mail, something that I had contributed to, and I remember going through the contributors' notes and like the titles of things people were working on.
Yes,
made me so angry.
Good.
That I realized that poetry wasn't for me. I had to get out.
Do you still read poetry?
A little bit.
Really? Are you just saying that to be nice to the friends of yours that are poets? Because I don't believe you at all.
It's a complicated thing.
See here, I'm not friends with poets for a reason.
Okay.
Yeah. No, the answer is no. I don't read poetry anymore. I was an English major. It didn't work out well. That's why I'm up here right now.
Are you talking about you?
I'm talking about me right now.
Oh, okay.
Yes. I'm not judging you in poetry.
Right.
But overall, poetry, I'm good.
We had the better parties.
You had really?
Yeah, we did.
I disagree. Wait. The poetry parties were better than...
They were better.
Than the
fiction people.
Why?
Because they were so tense. Because they always wanted to get an agent and be discovered and be big. And with poetry, the stakes were different.
Okay. What did you actually want to be writing about?
I didn't know at the time.
Okay, that was a while ago.
Right, it was a while
ago. Since
then,
you've been doing a lot of writing.
Right, yeah.
I'm assuming the bus column started first.
Actually, what came first was I was in my, like, mid to late 20s.
Okay.
I was on my own in Chicago, and, you know, at first I didn't have a TV because I was a poet.
Oh, God.
And then there was a really... Yeah, and then there was a really long winter, and I gave up on that. And so I went to Sears, and I got one of those TV-VCR combos.
Yes.
This is a long time ago.
It's a good combo.
Right, yeah. And I was too poor to get cable, and the only thing I could really get was WGN.
That's fantastic.
So I watched...
They have all the Cubs games,
you know. And I like Dawson's Creek. Dawson's Creek was on all the time. And this is how my writing career as we know it started. It was with Dawson's Creek, and I kept on watching it. And, like, you know that show?
Yeah.
Oh, we all know that show.
Right, yeah. And I couldn't fucking stand it. But I'm like, I need to talk to someone about how I couldn't stop watching Dawson's Creek.
Uh-huh.
And so I got on the internet, and I found this website that was just devoted to doing recaps of just Dawson's Creek. And really, really funny recaps. So I got on the bulletin boards and just somehow got really involved with that. And then spent like a whole weekend. They had some sort of weird like quiz or something like that where you had to write essay questions about Dawson's Creek. And I spent a whole weekend, you know, like smoking.
Oh, I'm with you now. Smoking's fun.
Yes. And writing like long essay answers about Dawson's Creek and thinking like, this is fucking ridiculous, what am I doing? But it turned out that these people were kind of probing for other writers, and they asked me if I wanted to join them with this website. And the website, first it was called Mighty Big TV, but it eventually became Television Without Pity.
Okay.
So I was one of the founding writers of this show website that did recaps of you know, at first like guilty pleasure TV shows. And
for the kids at home that want a career like yours, don't get an MFA in poetry from one of the top universities in the country.
Just watch
binge watch television.
Watch a terrible TV show.
So for today's kids, it'd be watch Gossip Girl.
Yeah.
And then blog about it.
Right,
and you'll have three books to your name.
Exactly.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
That makes no sense. Oh, so the writing for the television, that led to Bust.
And that led to writing for the internet and starting to blog, and then that kind of led to Bust.
Okay.
Then.
Your Bust column.
Yeah.
Why do you do it? What do you get out of it? Do you enjoy it?
It's fun. I write a pop culture column. Mm-hmm. And it kind of forces me to still continue to consume pop culture.
You know,
even though, like, sometimes I have better things to
do. What is something you've discovered in the calendar year that you wouldn't have without the column?
Let's see. I don't know. Actually, what I've been doing, I'm kind of a bad pop culture columnist because I always want to write about, like, just old stuff that I remember watching. Like, we're going and we're watching all these old movies on Netflix that I remember from when I was a kid.
Yeah.
All these crazy, like, 70s movies.
I write a column
about divorce ladies, you know?
I write a column for a DC paper. I think I've written 25 of them. I think 12 of them have been about Nirvana.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's okay.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's getting to be nostalgia stuff, and I'm like, it's starting to make me feel funny because I feel like I'm like now the old lady. And
well, you're not the old lady.
Yeah.
You're the middle lady. Nothing wrong with being a middle lady.
Right, yeah.
That sounds offensive, and I apologize for saying that while pointing at you and saying the middle lady. You've been able to craft an actual career by writing in Chicago. How does one go about doing that? It seems damn near impossible.
Well, you know, I do have a day job.
Really? This is disappointing now. What's your day job?
I edit children's books.
Yeah, but that's part of the thing. That's what you do. You seem to like that. Oh, okay. You seem to do that for money. And that's good, and
that's
important.
Do that. Yeah.
Are you actually interested in young adult fiction and, like, children's books?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Is it difficult to, like, read? I read your blog. You're, like, 50 manuscripts over the weekend or something to that effect. Like, how do you do that?
You know, you don't read everything. You just have to kind of flip through things and, you know, like everyone and like their cousin wants to write a picture book.
Yeah.
And you get lots and lots of just terrible, terrible things.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's kind of funny for about the first 2 or 3 years.
How long have you been doing it?
Like 13 years
now. Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah. So you're real upset by children's authors, aren't you?
I'm not really.
Good
but
for you.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the meantime, you've also published 3 books.
Right, yeah.
Your memoir. Are you sick of talking about yourself, considering you've written 2 memoirs? Is it 2 memoirs and a humor book?
2 memoirs and a humor book, but this last one isn't. I mean, it's sort of a memoir, but it's more kind of.
Well, let's plug
it's
the
a
title.
Travelogue, sort of.
The Wilder Life, The Adventures of the Lost World of the Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Okay. You're from Oak Park. Not really a prairie community.
No. But you know what? You know, in the 70s, the TV show was on. I didn't really watch the TV show, but I know a lot
Wait. You're not from the prairie, and you didn't watch the TV show, yet you wrote a book about it.
Well, no. I'm the books that the TV show was based on. That's a whole other world.
I don't read the book.
Oh, all right. No. There's like 8 books.
So why did you want to do that?
You know, I reread the books for the first time in years. Mm-hmm. And this is the other thing about being a children's book editor. Like, you get kind of afraid to reread the stuff you liked as a kid.
Yeah.
Because you get to be so critical, you're afraid it's going to suck.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really pleasantly surprised to find that it didn't suck.
Yeah.
You know, like, I thought that what I thought was interesting about, what I found so interesting about the books was just that it was all the historical stuff, and that it was like, you know, when you're a kid and you go on a field trip to one of those, like, historical, you know, villages, and you put your arm in a, you know, barrel of cornmeal, and you think, like, that's the only thing that's interesting about the books, and I'll be bored now.
Yeah.
But
that wasn't the case.
They were really awesome.
Does that make you want to revisit anything else that you had from childhood?
You know, I kind of do that all the time, but, you know, nothing else really in such depth.
Okay.
Because, I mean, the cool thing about this was, you know, I found out that you could go to all the home sites where the books took place, which are in Wisconsin and Minnesota and South Dakota and Kansas, all over the place. And these were things that, you know, I knew from the books really well. And it was kind of like, you know, you can't go to Narnia, but you can.
No, you cannot go to Narnia.
You know.
I'm sure many people try to go to Narnia.
Right. Yeah.
It's not likely that they will get there. Have you been to the Renaissance Fair?
Not in a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They try to go to Narnia. Well, it's similar.
Well, yeah. In the sense that there's stuff made of pewter.
Did you ever go to Six Flags in August? That's kind of like Narnia. A lot of sailors, a lot of teens.
Ah,
Yeah. Goat men.
There's goat men. Oh, there's a lot of goat men.
Were there sailors in Narnia? Is this like gay Narnia?
Yeah. I only read the gay versions of books.
Brandon, it's actually a club you've been to, isn't it?
Gay
called
Narnia?
Narnia. It's a gay club called Narnia.
Yeah, it's Berlin. They have Narnia night like the third. The Putter Boss hosted. That's way too insider. Yet everyone in the room knows the Putter Boss. It's fantastic. What's the goal for you? You seem to be doing everything you want except maybe the children's book thing. It's like you were just on This American Life.
Right.
You get all the hipster cred. You get all the young adult novel cred. I mean, what's left?
I still have stuff to do.
What's the next book going to be?
Okay. So my great-grandfather was a science fiction writer. I'll tell you his name, but he was nobody.
Don't say that. He's your great-grandfather.
No, his name was Malcolm Jameson. No one's heard of him.
Well, I've never even met my father, okay?
Okay.
You know the name of your great-grandfather? That alone is fantastic.
Okay.
Good for you.
All right.
Good family. Good genes.
Ancestry.com.
I don't know what websites are.
Okay.
This is a podcast. That's all I know. No, but your great-grandfather was a science fiction writer.
And he died in 1945, but he wrote kind of... lots of pulp magazine stuff.
Yeah.
And one of his stories became a Twilight Zone episode, so that's kind of cool.
That is awesome! What was the episode?
Of late, I think, of Cliffordsville.
Okay, what is the premise of that episode?
The premise of that is that it's one of the hour-long episodes. It's not that good, but...
Jesus, it's your great-grandfather. You could have lied. No one in here has seen it.
You could have
said he wrote the one where the guy broke his glasses, and the TV guy says it's the best episode of all time. He wrote that.
Right. No. It's about a ruthless businessman who wants to go back in time to his hometown back when things were good, and he wants to make his money all over again. And especially now that he knows all this stuff and he knows where the oil is and stuff like that. And so he makes a deal with the devil, played by Julie Newmar.
Wait, Julie Newmar played the devil?
Played the devil, yeah.
Cool.
I know. It was kind of awesome. So so he goes back and he finds, he buys all this land.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, I'm going to be rich. And then he figures out that, the technology that he needs to drill down to the oil wells won't be invented for another 30 years.
Okay.
And so then he goes around and he keeps trying to, get things invented, but things are too early. So he's like, he just runs up to people and he's like, here we go, combustion engines, And then there's this montage of, people just laughing at him,
Okay.
Ha, ha, ha.
I'm with you.
And I think
how does this translate into your next book? Or is that just a story about your great-grandfather?
That's just a story about my great-grandfather. But
great.
I think it's kind of interesting. I'm actually kind of interested in the whole time travel thing, too.
Okay.
And I think it's kind of cool that he wrote about time travel. And also, all this stuff, I didn't really know any of the stuff about him. Until the internet came about. I mean, we always had a couple of dusty books by him, and we heard some things, and we heard about how my great aunt dated L. Ron Hubbard.
What? Wait, let's talk about that. Your great aunt
dated L. Ron Hubbard.
Have you written about Scientology?
No, I have not.
Why not?
I'm not there
it's
yet.
It's fascinating.
Wait, was your grandma a science fiction groupie? Was she a science fiction groupie?
She kind of was.
She's jumping on L. Ron
Hubbard.
Merle said your aunt banged L. Ron Hubbard. Is that true?
I think that's true.
We don't know. Yeah. She's probably a sassy lady dating L. Ron Hubbard.
Supposedly they appear together on the cover of Weird Tales magazine. The artist drew them, and they're fleeing from a robot.
Yeah, okay. She banged him.
Yeah.
I know. So you're saying if I go on Ancestry.com, I will find who fucked L. Ron Hubbard in my family.
Right, yeah.
Are they we can get them as a sponsor, yeah, Merle?
L. Ron Hubbard?
Yeah,
L. Ron
Hubbard. She doesn't listen to anything.
We'll give away those free things that measure your photons or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Thetans?
Whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Them things that come out of you.
No. I think we're writing your next book as we speak. It's just this dialogue.
I will ghostwrite it.
Thanks for doing the show.
You're welcome.
Let's plug some of your stuff. This is why you're an inspirational person I like to have on the show, because it's she knows how to live life and not be a drunk and gets things done. I'm not saying you are not a drunk. I mean, if you're a drunk, good for you. Good for you, because you get stuff done.
Right.
But you need to do both.
Okay.
And thank you.
You're welcome.
So let's plug some stuff. The book just came out this year.
Mm-hmm.
You've just been on This American Life, because they definitely need my podcast plugs. So far we've talked about This American Life and WTF. We're definitely plugging the people that need the plugs. It's good. It's good these little upstarts are getting some love. Bust monthly magazine. People should buy it because it needs to be in print.
Definitely.
I was a women's studies major and an English major. I know how important Bust is.
Yeah. Also, you know who's now a columnist?
Who?
Roseanne Barr.
Okay. I just read Roseanne's recent column in Newsweek.
Okay.
She needs an editor. You should edit that shit.
Okay.
Her premises are brilliant.
Yeah.
But, like, oh, she can trim about 400 words almost every single piece.
Yeah. It's an advice column. So,
yeah. Let's narrow that down.
Okay.
All right. Are you a fan of Roseanne?
I think she's great, but I've never seen her unedited writing, but I'll read that column.
Have you?
So.
Oh, it's all right. It's good.
Okay.
Premise,
yeah.
Brilliant. The execution, 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
And she was in a pirate costume.
Wow.
Yeah. Where can people find you? Online.
Ooh. WendyMcClure.net.
And it's a good site. It's actually easy to navigate.
That's right. I had it professionally done.
I'm going to give you coffee from Bridgeport Coffee. They are one of our new sponsors. So here's a package of Bridgeport Coffee. Thanks
awesome.
For doing the show. Wendy McClure, everybody, put your hands together.
Every month at The Hungry Brain, You, Me, Them, Everybody presents 8x8, a show featuring 8 performers performing 8 minutes each. Stand-up comedy, singer-songwriters, sketch groups, writers, improv troupes, a mixture of everything that's good about the Chicago arts scene. Please visit youmethemeverybody.com for full lineups and schedules.
That was kind of Twilight Zone-y. That was good.
I was working for that.
Yeah, you were working for that. Joko Gallant's coming up, but let me give away something first. Bridgeport Coffee is our new sponsor, and they are fucking delicious. You know how delicious they are. I made a pot of it today. It was so good, I spilled an entire half pot of it on a chair and then proceeded to sit in that chair, and for the past 6 hours, my butt has been wet. So, with that in mind, I'm going to give this away. I need to think of a good trivia question. Merle, help me out here. Do you got any ideas for a trivia question?
What do you want to do trivia-wise?
I want to ask a question, then be able to throw this at somebody that actually wins it. So, think of something here. What state did the guy who's the cross and the thing, what state was that? Who said Florida first? Come up. Come up. Come up.
Throw it
come
at
up,
him.
Come up. Just throw it? Okay, you realize I have a bright, blinding light at me. I'm going to underhand toss it. Underhand toss it. So here, catch it. Somebody got it. The wrong person got it. So that Bridgeport Coffee, thanks for that. All right, coming to the stage. He's one of my favorites. I saw him in D.C. I saw him in Chicago. And he's a beautiful man. Don't hold that against him. Put your hands together for Joe Kilgallen, everybody. Joe!
Beautiful, thanks. Give it up for yourselves, guys, coming out on a Monday night. Huh? Let's hear it. Brandon Weatherby and everyone. This is good. He mentioned he saw me in Washington, D.C. I was in D.C. about a month ago. It was a fun time. I liked the city. I had a much better time this time around. The last time I was in D.C. was an 8th grade field trip, so I couldn't really enjoy the nightlife of the city. I couldn't get drunk. It was 8th grade. I got high as fuck, though, because, again, it was public school. You know, I had a good time there. CPS, baby. But it was weird. When I was an 8th grader there, we just did the typical sightseeing things. But one of the things we did, we had a meet and greet with our congressman. Now, I'm from the north side of Chicago. That's Illinois' 5th district for you guys. And we had this meet and greet on the steps of the Capitol building. We're all sitting on the steps, about 80 of us, and he's going on, and we're 8th graders. We're like, dude, we can't fucking vote. We don't give a shit what you're going to invest our money into. Like, this is boring. We just want to go by the Washington Monument and pretend like it's our dick. That's all we've wanted to do this entire time. I had this whole picture set up where I was like this, and the monument's coming out. It was a really cool thing. I had to lay down for it. It was fun. So he's going on, and finally he finishes, and we're like, thank God. He's doing the politician thing, walking through, shaking all our hands and everything. I'm just kind of ignoring him. I'm talking to one of my buddies. He comes from behind me. And kind of gives me one of these little shoulder massages. Like, hey, how you doing there, sport? He called me sport and kind of groped me. Like, kind of the way a creepy boyfriend does to a girlfriend. Kind of like, hey, what's up? And I'm kind of like, whoa, okay there, pal. That's nice. Let's have a good day. I then go up to my teacher. I told my teacher what happened. I go, listen, please tell me we're not going to reelect that fucking creep, okay? Because I feel violated right now. But not only did we reelect him to Congress for one more term, we later made him our governor. His name was Rod Blagojevich. That's a true story, guys. Hot Rod shoulder raped me. That's what happened to me as a 14-year-old. And to his defense, I was a good-looking 14-year-old. I don't really blame him. You know what I mean? I look like a young Bobby Flay with a Zach Morris swagger. I was a good-looking kid, so good for Hot Rod. You know what I'm talking about? But it was fun. When I was talking to Brandon in D.C., it was right around the time Occupy Wall Street was exploding, kind of. So, but I was listening to the politician side because I got to hear these outdoor speeches by these people that no one really knew. They were like just low-level congressmen. And they were talking the same talking points we've heard over the last year about the economy. They kept saying, if we keep raising the debt and deficit the way we are, and if we keep spending the way we do, one day our grandkids are going to have to pay it off. That's right, our grandkids. Now, as a meter, does that not sound like the greatest economic policy of all time? That sounds perfect, right? First of all, most of us don't have grandkids, so fuck them. Fuck our grandkids, right? Second of all, what kind of piece of shit grandkids are we raising in the future? They don't want to help out Papa and Nana. You know what I'm talking about? What kind of lazy, selfish bastards are we raising where they don't want to flip the bill for their grandpapa? You know what I'm talking about? First of all, let's not worry about the economy. Let's focus on raising better grandchildren. Maybe shit will even out in the long run. Well, I would like to think if I overdraft my bank account on Jack and Cokes, that Joey the Third is going to help out his papa down the line. You know what I'm talking about? And yes, I'm going to make him call me his papa because I'm going to be an old, cool grandpa with kick-ass eyebrows. Very distinguished. You know you respect a grandpa with good eyebrows. Seriously, why do you think Joe Paterno lasted as long as he did? Kick-ass eyebrows. Ronald Reagan, awesome eyebrows. Both people, shitheads. Great eyebrows, though. Made them last. What I like to think is if you buy your grandkid an Xbox 360, he should pay for your Medicare. That's just a good common trade. Medicare, little fucking Madden, it's perfect. That's my theory with the economy. Just, no, don't pay the bills, right? Everyone's like, there's this debt and deficit. We owe China, what, $14 trillion? Is China calling us? Is China knocking on America's door going, hey, where's our money? I had a friend owe me $8. I left him 7 voicemails in a day. Like, that was $8. So what I'm trying to say is just let's fucking ignore the calls. That's what I do when Best Buy calls me looking for money. Just hit that red button saying ignore, and then you're good to go. That's why I'm not in charge of economic relations, as you guys could tell. I don't really have a sound theory for it. I just say don't fucking answer the phone. Does America have a phone? Is our voicemail getting filled up? Okay, cool. I like having you there for me, man. I feel like this is like a really bad episode of Leno. I just looked at you going, is that okay? Was that a joke? This is a great episode of Leno, but bad set on Leno, though. The people on the radio, I hope, know there's 7 people here. Can we tell them? Can we tell the people on the podcast that? Okay.
Don't worry about it.
No, that sounds good.
You know I'm cutting that part out, right?
Go for it, yeah. There's fucking cast of thousands here. Be like the Bozo Show, where he used to say, cast of thousands, and then they show the crowd, it's like 40 people. It was like the playground theater, the size of that fucking place that Bozo did his show. A lot of Bozo fans in the crowd. It's good to see. It's good to see. I'm proud of that. I don't want to bore you with politics. This is the last thing I'll say about it. I don't really care who you vote for. I just don't like it when people make up shit to divide people. I saw this one woman say this. I'm voting for Michelle Bachmann because she's pro-family. And I like my candidates to be pro-family. Which leads me to ask this question. Who the fuck's running on the anti-family platform? Huh? Is that a candidate out there doing that? Because if so, I would love to see the anti-family candidate speeches. Those have to be the best speeches ever. Just some guy or girl at the podium like, ladies and gentlemen, my fellow Americans, I just want to say this. You know your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister. Ah, fuck them. Vote for me. Let's make shit happen. Let's get it right this time around. Your sister's a whore. Your brother's a dick. We'll do it right in 2012. Vote for me. Come on, guys. The anti-family candidate. Those are the best speeches, I think. But can you believe that? Pro-family? Who isn't pro-family? That's like someone saying, vote for me. I'm pro-happiness. Yeah, I'll make all your dreams come true. Vote for me. I'm pro-hugs and kisses. Vote for me. I'm pro-handjobs and finger-banging. Just no sex before marriage. I got to win Georgia. You know what I'm talking about? One of those candidates? The economy does suck, right? So you got to look for a good deal. I found this great deal. Get this, guys. I'm grocery shopping just a few weeks ago. There's this deal. 2 big boxes of Captain Crunch for $5. 2 big boxes for $5. Did you guys not hear me just now? You guys should be flipping your fucking tables asking me where this grocery store is. That is a goddamn steal. That's such a good deal. I bought 20 boxes that day. That's how good that was. I forgot to get milk at a double back. It was a long day at the grocery store, but I got shit done, you know? I was so jacked up about that deal, I told a buddy of mine about it. I'm like, dude, 2 big boxes of Captain Crunch for $5. How awesome is that? He then comes back at me real smug, real condescending. He says, Captain Crunch? Captain Crunch, Joe? Really, Captain Crunch? Well, when I was a kid growing up, I wasn't allowed to eat Captain Crunch because it's very high in sugar. I go, that's amazing. You're fat as shit right now, and I'm in great shape. So maybe let's not blame the cereal, huh? How about that? Maybe it wasn't the captain's fault, okay? I'm not sure if you know this, but Captain Crunch was in the fucking Navy. That guy knows how to stay fit, okay? Captain Crunch, his younger years, he was a fucking Navy SEAL. I don't know if you guys know that. He trained the guys who got Bin Laden. That's how good Captain Crunch was. So let's not make fun of the cap and how he makes it happen, okay? That guy's a godsend where I come from. We promoted him in my household. He's Admiral Crunch where I come from. Once the Crunch Berries came out, we gave him a fleet. That's what I'm talking about. I saw a picture of a young Captain Crunch. He had blonde eyebrows on his hat and a six-pack. The guy was gorgeous. You got to respect that kind of man. I do love the cereal aisle, though, right? Isn't there something exciting about the cereal aisle, even to this day? It's an aisle you cannot be in a bad mood in. You can't walk down the cereal aisle angry. It's too bright and colorful. No one's ever picked up a box of Honey Nut Cheerios and said, fuck that bee, God damn it, do I hate my father, and thrown it up in the air. Like, it's a happy aisle. But I came across one thing in the cereal aisle that really pissed me off, that I did not like at all. Every cereal has its own catchphrase, its own slogan. And some of them are good. Some of them. We've got your classics. You've got Wheaties, Breakfast of Champion. That's their slogan. That's a good one. You've got Frosted Flakes. We all know that one. They're great. That one's good, right? But I came across one that really bothered me. So here's what's going to happen now. I'm going to do a little trivia for you guys. You have that little trivia question thing going on. I'm going to say the slogan. You guys go ahead and shout out what cereal I'm talking about, okay? Because this one really pissed me off. Here's the slogan. Kid tested, mother approved. Kix. Very good. You guys got it. Kix. Let's think about that slogan one more time and what it's really trying to say. Kid tested, mother approved, dad doesn't give a fuck. That's what that's saying. That's very sexist cereal campaign slogan right there. Kid tested, mother approved, Timmy, eat your fucking cereal. Daddy's not even up right now. Why are you bothering me about your cereal? Just eat your fucking food. Mommy's going to get hit again. Eat your goddamn food. So I imagine that goes down. Did someone in the crowd groan? It's a made up, there's not really a woman getting hit. It's a joke. Come, let's... I think someone went, oh, like, that's not really a woman. I made that person up. She's fiction. Listen, here's why I had such a problem with that slogan, that cereal motto, if you will. Here's why I had a problem with it. My parents divorced when I was very young. I was 5 years old when my parents divorced. And guess who made breakfast every single morning? My dad. That's who made the breakfast. That's right. What would he make me for breakfast? Captain Crunch. Motherfucker knows what's up. That's a good dad right there. He knew what his little boy liked. My mom, on the other hand, didn't make breakfast. No, on her weekends, mommy never made the breakfast. Mommy worked at a bar. Mom's Irish. Mom was too hungover to wake up in time for breakfast. She would, on the other hand, make me lunch. Here's what she made me for lunch. Bologna and ketchup sandwiches. Yeah. Kid tested, didn't fucking approve. It's a god-awful sandwich. I'm like, really, Mom? Bologna and ketchup again? Holy shit, now I know Daddy's looking for a new wife. Shit's adding up. I know what some of you are thinking. You're like, wow, that joke got real out of nowhere. Holy shit. That joke really jumped up a notch. I don't blame you. Some of you thought, wow, that was a fun cereal bit that turned into a horrible joke about a young boy's struggle for nutrition. That's what happens there. That's what that joke's really about. You guys have been a fun crowd. Thank you so much for having me here at
Joe
the Hungry Brain. Thanks, guys.
Everybody. Joe, sit down. Sit down, Joe. God damn it. A young Bobby Flay with Zach Morris swagger?
Yeah, thanks, man.
Jesus. Why Bobby Flay?
Everyone says I look like him. I don't see it, though.
Oh, yeah, you look like him.
I think I'm taller and thinner. That's what I think.
Yeah, you look like his cousin or
something.
He
could cook, though.
Is that true about... Is your dad still single?
No, my dad remarried. I was five in the joke. My dad remarried when I was 10.
Oh, so. Good for him.
Yeah.
Why stand-up comedy? Because, once again, you're not an uggo.
I'm not an uggo? Is everyone in stand-up comedy ugly? That's not true.
Look around. Not in this room, but in the people.
Yeah, everyone in this room is like, what the fuck?
No, not this room. Comedians.
Oh, all the people. Oh.
Yeah, you're part of Comedians
I'm
You Should Know.
Yeah.
You call the rest of them trolls on a record that debuted at number one on iTunes.
I did
You're
do that.
On record saying everyone that you know is ugly.
Yeah, just in that group.
Brandon calls Junior Stopka a monster.
No, I'm cutting that out.
Everyone calls Junior Stopka a monster. His mother calls him a monster, so they don't have to cut that.
You were going to tell him that to his face,
Junior's
and I told you not
to. Junior's one of my best friends.
To.
He doesn't care about that.
Junior will beat the shit out of me. I'm not doing
Junior would beat the shit out of a lot of people. But
he's
a sweetheart.
This is your interview.
I'm sorry.
Not who Junior will beat up. Can we
all right,
just
well, we'll compare
everyone?
My list to Junior's list and who could beat up more people.
Ooh, let's do this. Okay.
Oh, he's
could
got
you
me.
Beat
he's
up,
a boxer.
Could you beat up everyone in Comedians You Should Know?
Absolutely.
Could you do it 2-on-1? Lebo and Danny Cowles versus you.
Yes, I could beat
them. Bullshit.
No, you know why? Lebo's a wild card, but you give him one strong punch to the stomach, he'll cough for like an hour and he's out. And then Danny, you could just confuse and then he'll lose. So
all
right, I'm coming off as a dick right now. Totally. Who could I beat up? Why are we talking about that?
You just said that we should
talk
about
this. It was a joke,
though.
I didn't want to actually name names. And like,
you just did.
Everyone, I can't see their facial expressions, but I know they're judging me.
Yeah, it's
fine. Right now. That's fine.
You're a stand-up.
I know.
I'm
used to it. I'm fine with it. I get judged harshly, I think, sometimes.
Who are the guys that made you want to do stand-up?
Jerry Seinfeld, believe it or not.
Seriously?
I know. I'm nothing like him on stage
at all. We do cereal bits.
Well, the cereal bit, yeah, that's the only thing I have with him, I guess. Well, that's a true story. Lebo's the guy I talk about. Lebo's the guy. in that serial. Mike Leibovitz, I don't know if you guys have seen him here. I'm sure he's done the show before.
Yeah, he's
right?
on the show. He's
one of the, he's easily one of Chicago's best stand-up comedians.
Oh, yeah.
You guys could see him anywhere. He's great. I bought the two big boxes of candy because he picked me up. We were going to a show like an hour out of the side of the city. He's like, what are you so happy about? I'm like, dude, I got this great deal. It was Captain Crunch, like my favorite cereal. I mean, I hadn't eaten Captain Crunch in like a decade, you know? And I was like, name brand cereal. I was so broke. I was just excited to buy a name brand cereal. I was like, finally, I get to step up from the Aldi brand. I get to like, you know, I went to some little grocery store and they had the deal. And he just looked at me and goes, when I was a kid growing up, we weren't allowed to eat that because it was so high in sugar.
Yeah,
like,
Lebo's
he said it
fat.
Like he was better than me.
Yeah, Lebo's.
But he's like not in shape.
Yeah,
like,
he's horribly.
I'm not
out
trying
shape.
To give him. I'm not saying you can't know nutrition. Like you can know you could be in horrible shape and still get nutrition. But don't, you know, that's like, come on, why are you giving me shit for it? Really? Like, I've
you know, you
that
didn't need to
life.
Name names, but you
whatever.
Did.
He knows it.
Okay,
I tell him that.
Okay,
so
now,
if he's on the show, I will address the fact that he. When I do that, that shows that he's on.
All right.
I'll be like, you see the guy who went up before you? The guy who looks, or Marty DeRosa says, Mike Leibovitz looks how he smells.
Oh,
like he looks
no!
how he smells.
No!
He knows he
does
stinks.
Does he smell bad?
Oh, he smells terrible.
Oh, really?
He's got a kid, and he's running around during the day with his kid and stuff like that, and he never has he always says he doesn't have time to shower.
What?
Yeah, he says he showers in the morning, but by the time there's a show, you know, we do comedy at night. If you shower at like 8 in the morning and you're running around with an 8-year-old, you're going to stink by 8 o'clock.
Does
and
he smell like up. Puke or...
I'll tell you a story that he won't even care. We were doing the comedy bar downtown, and literally, he was the host. So he introduced me to on the stage. And you know when you go shake the host's hand
yeah,
and
course.
Take the microphone from him? Yeah, of course. Before I could say, give it up for Mike Leibovitz, which is what I always say for the host, I had to like go, whoa. The smell was on stage.
Oh, no.
There was a stink on the stage that I didn't smell until I got to the stage. And right when he handed me the mic, I literally coughed and gasped a little bit. And that's how I started my set that night.
Everything you've said about Mike Leibovitz sounds like a cartoon villain.
He is a cartoon villain.
Okay,
no, he's not a villain. He's a nice guy.
An accidental villain.
An accidental villain, yeah.
Speaking of accidental villains, that was an awful segue. You're part of Comedians You Should Know, Six Guys. You throw a show every Wednesday night at Timothy O'Toole's.
That's right.
It's also an album.
Yeah,
are you still trying to plug that or no?
No, yeah, for sure.
Good.
Still day. As long as it's still being sold, you guys can still buy it.
It is. It's really, really
I get,
good.
It costs, I think it's $9.99 on iTunes.
It is.
And I get 11 cents for every purchase. So please, guys, help me out.
Who made that deal?
No, it's not that bad. It's better now. It's well, six people were splitting, and then iTunes takes a healthy cut.
Yeah.
And then we went through CD Baby, and then the guy who produced it still has a cut, so...
Do you get a check for 11 cents sometimes?
No, I think the last check was for like $30 or something. But they do it like every couple months.
Please keep in mind.
At first it was nice, but...
This debuted at number one on iTunes.
We were number one for 2 days. So if you guys think it's big money out there, you're mistaken.
Oh, man.
I thought that, honestly, when it was number one, I worked a warehouse job over at, Armitage and Elston. Not that anyone cares the streets. I don't know why I did that. But, it can be street cred. You guys know it, right? 7-Eleven, homeless guys. It's a cool warehouse.
Did you Yelp review the warehouse?
No.
Are
no.
you the mayor of that warehouse on Foursquare?
I would have given that one star if I
Ooh,
Yelp reviewed that.
That's no. not a good warehouse review.
I hate Yelp. We could talk about that. But no, fuck Yelp. It sucks.
Why does Yelp suck?
Because no one polices it.
There's a sticker on our window that says people love us on Yelp.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, that's great. But what's to stop some asshole from coming in here saying they blared the TVs too loud?
We don't have TVs.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why I said that. Because there was a bar that I liked on Milwaukee Avenue near Irving, and everyone gave it one star on Yelp. And the only reason I looked on it on Yelp because I was going to see if there's any drink specials. Because sometimes on Yelp,
they
push the drink specials.
Love those.
And I'm like, how is this place getting one star? This place is great. And then I'm looking, and it's nothing but like people making shit up that didn't like the bar. Like an ex-employee could go on there and just Yelp a bunch of stuff and get all his friends. And no one police it. They were saying stuff like, oh, I was there, and everyone was smoking. It's like, really? Everyone was smoking in Chicago? They have smoking ban since 2008, and it's a lie, and no one polices it.
All right.
Yeah, you guys ever been to Richards? Richards is an awesome bar.
No.
It's at Milwaukee and Grand, a really cool bar, and everyone shit on that because, you know, someone looked at them the wrong way, and therefore they think it's a bad bar. And I don't like that people have that kind of power.
But then you look at the pictures of
Rotten Tomatoes is a good site, though. I like that one.
Look at the pictures of the people that wrote those reviews, and if they give it a one star and they look like a douche, you'll love the bar.
No, that's a good policy, too. Also, here's why I don't like it. The same person who ripped apart the bar I liked, I clicked on their profile. And the same person who ripped on this bar, ripped on Richards, gave Richards one star, also reviewed a McDonald's. I'm not kidding.
Wait, what did they give the McDonald's?
They gave the McDonald's 3 stars, which is crazy to me because everybody either loves McDonald's or they hate it. Nobody, who's iffy on McDonald's?
Which one was it?
What's her name?
I think it was the one. I don't know. Just some random neighborhood one. I don't know.
Oh, you don't know
Park
the streets on this one?
I can't remember. They have the address. Maybe it was
okay.
Irving and like.
Let's find this person right now. Let's,
Central
let's
Park.
Send
Look it up,
email.
Honestly.
Okay, so Richards is the place?
Yeah. Well, dude, it's going to take forever to find.
Oh,
it.
No, it
gets
it won't.
Reviewed a lot.
You know you can
just
send
go to
messages.
McDonald's. Go to McDonald's. See the reviews of McDonald's.
I think I'm going to have better
because
luck with a bar.
I think you'd have better luck just reviewing the McDonald's.
There's 100.
Because I've seen people review a Walgreens. They review a Walgreens. What information are you getting out on a Walgreens that people don't know? I remember hearing the one person, oh, the Walgreens at North and Walls, I don't like it compared to the Walgreens on this one because the aisles are too small. What the fuck? It's Walgreens. Who's
is
buying more than four items at a Walgreens?
Is her name Bridget?
Maybe.
Okay,
that
Bridget
right.
D. She's got 38 reviews. She's gave it one star.
Okay.
She's got a Mad Men avatar. She's from Aurora. I think that's your problem here.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there you go. Just don't talk to people
just don't
from
talk
Aurora.
To people from Aurora. All right, fine. I get it that Yelp serves a purpose. I just don't like that they dump on all the places I like.
All
right. That's fair, right?
Yeah, sure.
You know, that's maybe a childish way to look at hating a place, but I just don't like it.
You seem to get a lot of hate all of a sudden.
Did I? Just for that website.
The fucking Yelp thing.
Because I know bartenders who have gotten their names mentioned on there because of some jerk that didn't like them. You know what I mean?
They should just lie then.
They should.
Yeah. That's a good way to end the interview.
Well,
people
also, the reason
lie.
You know the reason I don't like Yelp is because they hold back good reviews and try to get money out of you. Yeah. I worked at a bar, and the owner said I got a call from Yelp saying you have a lot of positive reviews. Maybe you should think about advertising with us. It's like mafia shit. No, I'm serious. There are people who will write five-star reviews. Oh, I thought Hungry Brain was the greatest place in the world, and it'll never get published, and that Yelp will hold them back and then call up Hungry Brain saying, hey, how about you throw us some ad money? Yeah, see, the bartender
here.
Right here verifies. I'm not making this up. Did this change anyone's opinion on Yelp, what I've set up here?
No.
No, of course not. So, like, that's why I try not to do comedy that makes a strong point. Because who gives a shit?
Wait.
It doesn't
wait.
Change this anyone's mind.
You did 6 minutes on the political system in America, but the Yelp is thing is what you're
Yeah, but guess what?
About.
That woman is still going to vote for Michelle Bachmann because she's pro-family. That's not going to change anyone's mind.
Michelle Bachmann's not going to get to the election.
She's not, I know. But, like, it was for the Iowa primary.
She's not from Iowa. She's in Chicago. She's from Aurora.
I'm not talking about the woman. I'm talking about, what are you talking about?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I said the
this
woman.
This is like Seinfeld. I get why
no,
you like
I
him.
I said I saw a woman say this in the joke about
I know.
Pro-family.
I'm with
she's
you.
She's going from Michelle Bachmann.
Where is she
pro-family.
From?
Pro-family. The woman?
Yes.
No, she's on TV.
In my mind.
She's from Chicago
Aurora.
Or Aurora?
Aurora.
She's from Aurora.
Exactly.
Okay.
So
wow.
She doesn't matter.
In the Illinois,
no one in Aurora matters
in
is
the
what I'm
Illinois,
saying.
Well, Wayne and Garth. In the Illinois Republican primary,
she
won't could
even
vote
be
for Michelle Bachmann. She'll
We're like
make it to Super Tuesday. That woman's
We're
crazy
not on
enough.
Super Tuesday, Joe.
I said she'll make it to Super Tuesday.
Yeah, but Illinois isn't.
You guys
in
heard me say she'll make it to Super Tuesday, right?
Illinois isn't in Super Tuesday.
Yeah, we are.
No, we're
are
not.
Are we after Super Tuesday?
We're after. We're weeks after.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Okay, you could be right about that.
What?
She's Michelle Bachmann is so dumb she'll stick around. Do you think Michelle Bachmann thinks that
yes,
HPV comes from monkeys and that
it does?
I said HPV. And no, she'll stick. That crazy woman will stick.
Let's make a bet. How much you want to bet that Michelle Bachmann is out of the Illinois primary?
I don't know. What do you want to bet?
$10.
$10? Yeah, absolutely.
$10. That's on record.
That's fine.
All right, you can see.
I'll be happy to give you the $10 because I want her out by
then.
It's a win-win for me.
That's not how it works. Okay, you can catch Joe almost every Wednesday at Comedians You Should Know at Timothy O'Toole's. It's ComediansYouShouldKnow.com. Buy the album. This guy is touring all over the country, so if you're not listening to Chicago, go find him. The only problem with this is a lot of comedy clubs don't list the feature. They only list the headliner. So
that's true.
When you're on doing out-of-town gigs, do you list them on your Facebook or anything like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, follow. You know, Twitter I've been getting more into. Just
let's do that. Let's plug that.
Easier. Just Twitter, at Joe Kilgallen.
At Joe Kilgallen.
K-I-L-G-A-L-L-O-N.
We will link it to the description of the podcast.
By the way, your last guest was awesome, by the way.
Yeah,
I really
she?
Enjoyed that.
Totally different than you.
Her grandfather was, like, great-grandfather. Great-grandfather?
Great-grandfather.
That was really cool. And you don't know who your grandfather is at all?
No, I don't even know who my father is.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, that doesn't sound like anything I want to talk about with
nope.
you.
Nope. Joe Kilgallen, everybody!
All right. Thanks, guys.
Y'all, do you like stand-up comedy?
Yay-ho!
At Comics and Villains, we've got more stand-up comedy than you can fuck a rattlesnake with. We've got so many stand-up comedians, we might have to start a zoo or Section 8 housing. Comics
Drinks and Villains is every second Thursday of the month at the Lucky Number Grill, 1931 North Milwaukee Avenue. Some of our past comedians include Mike Leibowitz, James Fritz, Dana Callis, Cameron Esposito, Bill Cruz, Colin Bull, Napoleon Bonaparte, the Putter Bar Sisters, John Mick, Canada Forrest, my dick, Ken Whiskel, Maggie Adams, Sam Norton, Tupac Shakur, Ryan Walker, Jeff Steinbrenner, Ray Stans, Ken Barnyard, Abraham Lincoln, Lauren Vino, Dr. Fingers, Marty DeRosa, Joe Kilgour, Chris Conrad, and Junior Stopka. Well, drinks are only $3 and strong enough to make your dick soft. So come on down to Comics and Villains every second Thursday at 8 p.m. at the Lucky Number Grill. Happy trails!
Hello, Amy.
Hello, Brandon.
Amy Sarai, everybody, give her a round of applause. Did I skip your name when I was introducing everybody in the top of the show?
I think you did.
I thought I did, okay. And that's, here, have some coffee. Bridgeport coffee. They're good.
Thank you very much.
I'm serious. Some coffee. I asked. Okay. I just want to ask a few questions before you begin. We usually don't do banner interviews because they're usually awful, but I know you and you're not an idiot, so I'm not worried about this. You play accordion.
Why?
Do.
Well, actually, I used to play piano for years growing up, and then my brother-in-law, Mark, who's German from Minneapolis, his uncle gave him his accordion, or I think it might have been his aunt. And he brought the accordion home, and I picked it up, and I instantly fell in love. It's a beautiful instrument. It's like a symphony in your hands, kind of.
I don't think anyone said an accordion is like a symphony in your hands. I also like to point out to the listener at home, you're not an old, fat Polish man. Here's the cool thing about Amy. She also plays with the band. It's full band. You play guitar in that band, yeah?
I play guitar and accordion.
It's Amy Sarai and The Outcome.
Mm-hmm.
You guys play a consistent amount throughout Chicago and occasionally the Midwest. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, we did a little tour recently.
Where is your next show?
We're actually doing a 7-inch EP release show. We have an EP we're releasing called Purging. It's at the Saki Record Store.
Oh, Saki's brilliant. It's on Fullerton. It's in Wicker Park.
Yeah, it's
December. No, sorry, Logan Square.
It's Logan Square. Mm-hmm. It's like 3516 West
Fullerton.
Yeah, that's
Fullerton. A great store.
And it's also their holiday party.
Oh, that's is that the record label party too? I will cut this out of the podcast. Is that the cardboard sangria party?
No, it's called the Christmas Mansion Party. So they'll have eggnog. They'll have a tacky sweater contest. Cookie potluck.
Is it free?
It's free!
When is that?
It's free, and it's December 17th.
December 17th, and I highly recommend people to go to that, and Amy's going to set up in place.
You, Me, Them, Everybody wants to thank you for listening and also for subscribing to us on iTunes. We can always use the extra support, though, so why don't you say something nice about us on iTunes? Go ahead, give us a 5-star rating. This type of thing helps us out a lot and doesn't cost you a dime. Thanks again for listening, and now back to the show.
Thank you.
A song called Cattle Prod Hands. It's not on the EP. It's one of the bonus downloads if you purchase the EP. Well, they tortured me with the cattle prod. I'm lost to the world in this red tape soldier.
Oh,
called Archaeologist. Down deep in rubble compartments, bare bones of me act like you finally struck gold, but you down even now, you down my half decay. Found the plastic sparks near. You cherish there all that you see. Brush me off gently. Your hands help me excavate.
Who likes to tell it to you straight? Oh,
when you're the type of boy who believes in making out once. You love them and leave them faster, but it's so romantic. This notion I've got on you is so wholly fantastic. I don't care. Tragedy. There's no way I'll stray from this story getting made. It's the murder here in me. Oh, but it's a romance. This notion I've got on you is so wholly fantastic. I don't care if it's too late.
For doing this.
Well, thanks for having me.
Come to the Hungry Brain. Give us really great Yelp reviews because Joe said so. Thanks for coming, everybody, and have a wonderful night.